right, ladies and gentlemen, hour number two. I have a very special guest coming out the next segment on the West being behind almost all the Islamic terror and more. But I want to go to this incredible clip of Will Hollingsworth speaking out on one of these data centers going in. This guy is so eloquent. I can't wait to get him on the show. Here it is.
Can you believe this is where we're at in 2026 in city council meetings, this dystopian nightmare? Thank you, Will Hollingsworth, for your voice. Millions of Americans are right behind you.
Mr. Hollingsworth, I know that you had your hand up to talk.
Hello, my name is Will Hollingsworth. I work at Reed Memorial Library, and thank you all for hearing me today. I'm not a cynic when it comes to technology. My love for it started when my uncle first sat me down at a beige Windows 95 computer and began teaching me HTML. This love of the digital shaped my career as I went on to become a programmer and a professional content creator. In my last job, I was the digital artist they trusted to do that kind of work. I was the one feeding Midjourney prompts to create the perfect commercial, training the very machine that would eventually replace me, as 3 months later, they would lay me off. I didn't just watch it happen. I was holding the tools when the tools were turned on me. I want to stress, I don't stand here as an enemy of progress. The thing is, when I look at the data center proposal, I don't see progress. I see a gamble where the big tech companies get the gold while Portage County foots the bill. Now, I know there are good faith arguments for this project. There are people in our community, informed, honest people, who will tell you that the modern data centers use what's called a closed loop system. They say the water is filled once and recycled forever. In a laboratory, that might be true, but we aren't living in a laboratory. We're living in Ohio. I can tell you that as the chips get smaller and AI demands get larger, the heat these machines generate is outstripping the closed-loop theory. To keep the servers from melting, a data center has to bleed the lines to remove toxic sludge, aka forever chemicals, and bleeding water needs to be evaporated. It does not stay in the loop. It evaporates into the sky by millions of gallons. The very place that laid me off was an organic mattress company, and while working for them, I actually learned a lot about forever chemicals. I got to see how the sausage gets made. I saw the inside of those so-called regulations. I saw how rigorous studies are often self-funded, a pay-to-play model where if you've got the cash, they'll give you the certificate. If a trillion-dollar company is funding the study that says their forever chemical runoff won't hit our water table, they aren't giving us the science, they're giving us a sales pitch. We're told that we have to accept this because we need big employers. We're told that if we don't say yes, we're driving away the future. But that's a false choice. A big employer who uses the water of 50,000 people, which, by the way, is a combination of both Kent and Ravenna, only hires about 10 people, is not an employer. They are an extraction. We are being asked to fund a 21st century luxury with a 19th century resource heist. We are being asked to sacrifice the lifeblood of our city so a trillion-dollar company can save a fraction of a cent on its margins. We are being asked to drain our reservoirs so a chatbot can write a poem or so our sheriff can generate a picture of himself standing next to Bigfoot. They want us to trust a trillion-dollar industry that tells us with a straight face that they can suck 5 million gallons of water out of our ground a day, use it as a liquid heat sink, and return it to our rivers without a single consequence. They are asking for a measured approach while they hide their actual usage behind secret contracts and NDAs. Ohioans have seen this trick played before. We know what happens when massive utility interests and black box energy deals gets fast-tracked behind closed doors. We're still paying the bill, literally, for the first energy scandal. We were told these bailouts were essential and measured too, and it turned out to be the largest racketeering plot in the history of our state. So when a trillion-dollar company asks for our water, our electricity, and our silence, we shouldn't just be asking for the facts. We should be asking who is really getting the kickback, and why is it our reservoir that's on the line? There is a reason the Ohio House just voted 88-0 to pause and study this industry. It wasn't an act of cynicism. It was an act of stewardship. They realize we cannot let these ghost towns move in then before we understand the damage they do to our grid and our water table. We are the county seat. We are the stewards of the Great Lakes Basin. Let Ravenna be the city that had the wisdom to say no to the bubble and yes to the basin. I am not a cynic when it comes to technology. I am a believer in community. I believe that a drop of clean water for a Ravenna child is worth more than a billion AI-generated images. Let us choose the child. Let us choose the community. Let us choose to keep...
Make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, we're now into the second hour. In the third hour, we're going to look at the latest developments that are now unfolding behind closed doors, but transcripts are beginning to come out with the Epstein case being examined by the committee and the ongoing cover-up that has unfolded there. And Howard Lutnick is testifying right now. And so we've got video of him coming in to the meeting and more. Of course, he got caught lying. Trump's top financial advisor and best buddy, who lived next door to Epstein forever and traveled to the island many times and lied about it, and said, he only met Epstein once, and he came in and said, let me give you and your wife a special massage. We ran out of there, and then turns out he was in business with him and everything else. Trump told Marjorie Green and others, he said, this embarrasses my friends. Shut this down. We never found any evidence that Trump was involved, but certainly people he's protecting were. And it's disgusting. And most of them are Democrats, which Lutnick has been. So big problem there. We'll be looking at that. Also, religious leaders told prepare now, this is Fox News, for UFO disclosure to unleash Bible-changing revelations that will shake your faith. Why are they saying that up front? Castell says that he's now given the first group of documents about aliens and UFOs for full disclosure to the agencies to declassify under Trump's orders. It could happen within days or weeks. We'll be looking at that later next hour. And so much more. So please stay with us. Remember, I know most of you know this on radio stations listening, TV stations watching, because we didn't miss a beat with the satellites and all the stations were notified that he's flipped over to the new channel. But I told everybody, and I said, look, it looks like InfoWars is going to shut down on the 30th of April. And sure enough, the Texas receiver ordered that. And they ran headlines everywhere that I'm off the air, and that's the end of Alex Jones. And so many people believed it. And Bigley's having their phones blow up in their emails. Everybody else I know, people in the gas station talking to me, the crews hearing it everywhere, that I'm off the air. I'll assure you I'm not off the air. I'll assure you we're here, and we have the news site with all the videos and all the articles and all, everything, just like InfoWars, but even better, alexjoneslive.com. And I know most of you watching know that, but I need you to hit your email list, your text message list, tell your coworkers, tell strangers, hey, they're censored Alex Jones. He's trying to stop them releasing the next virus. He's trying to stop them launching the next Islamic terror attack to take our liberties. He's trying to stop Israel controlling our foreign policy. You know, he's hitting on all cylinders. This is the guy that the CIA and FBI declassified, ran the fake lawsuits, all of it against us. We need to keep him on air. And I don't want to just keep myself and Harrison on the air. I want to bring back the American Journal. I want to get all these other hosts that want to come on board with us, reporters, and get even bigger than we were. We were number one English-speaking program in the world, 2016, 17, 18, until they censored us. And we're still massive, reaching tens of millions a day. You know, people kind of passively listen to it. Then they try to go find it. InfoWars is down. They ordered it shut down. They told the provider they're not going to pay them, so they turned it off on the first. And then the Democrats that did this, we have the documents and the orders. We filed the Supreme Court against them, went and filed an emergency thing trying to shut this network down owned by Bigley and saying we'd stolen the equipment and that we had done all these things we didn't do with no evidence. And that we ordered InfoWars shut down to sabotage them because the Onion was coming in to take it over. No courts even ordered the Onion to come in and take it over. Remember a year and a half ago, they said with that fake auction in the federal court that they owned it. And people believe that. People still, until this latest thing, thought the Onion owned it. We saw 75% drop in revenue at InfoWarsStore.com that never came back because the Onion claimed they owned it even though we still had it and ran it. But now they've ordered it turned off, not the Onion, but the court. But the court turned out was going to have a hearing last Thursday to give it to them, but that got blocked by the third Court of Appeals. So this battle is raging right now. So we need your word of mouth that Alex Jones is still on the air. But they run this hoax that we're dead. People used to say Mark Twain was dead. He said rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. So yeah, we've had surges of new audiences and all these great people and all these other talk shows saying what happened to us is wrong. That's great. But core audience and people literally believe this and now think we're off the air. I'll assure you, I'm not some AI avatar. I'm here in Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. All right. I appreciate our guest holding while I did that update, but I'm having to do it every hour. People are starting to find out, so that's good. Keep spreading the word, folks. This is an information war. I'm counting on you. Please take action. Take the live feed that's on the front page of AJN, AlexJonesLive.com. Go to AlexJonesLive.com/show. Go to the viewing page, click it right there, and send out that URL. Say, here's Alex Jones, here's the live feed, audio and video feeds, here he is. And when you share it with people, tell them to share it with folks. And go to Rumble, rumble.com/AJN Live, /AJN Live, rumble.com/AJN Live. Got a bunch of other big channels there as well. That's how you do it. That's how we win the information war. Can't do it without you. All right, going to our guest. Colonel Roxanne Towner Watkins, distinguished career, spans military service and civilian success, beginning as an aircraft maintenance technician in the U.S. Air Force. She rose to the ranks to hold leadership roles in the Pentagon and U.S. Central Command during critical post-9/11 operations. After retiring, she pursued advanced degrees in strategic studies and construction management and transitioned into real estate investment, focusing on community revitalization. Her journey exemplifies dedication, leadership, and the power of combining military discipline with entrepreneurial vision. At Colonel Towner, T-O-W-N-E-R, Colonel Towner. And I'm really impressed in the interviews I've seen that she talks about, because I've interviewed the people that ran Gladio operations. Not all of them, but Steve Pachinik ran the stuff in Italy and things. Created a whole grand jury investigation, like when he first admitted it 15 years ago on my show. He co-wrote the books with Tom Clancy. But that was her window into this, and then how Al-Qaeda, ISIS, all these groups are run by Western intelligence. It goes back to the British, basically creating Saudi Arabia, using them to attack neighboring areas. So it doesn't mean that radical Islam isn't real and isn't a threat, isn't a danger. The issue is that it's then used to take our rights and our liberties. And we're told that we've got to fight them over there instead of over here, but now we have 15 times the Muslims in the West than we did before 9/11. So something bigger is here. So you can go wherever you want, Colonel. It's great to have you. So much knowledge. You can start with a year and a half ago, they put the leader of Al-Qaeda in charge of Syria, but we got to give our rights up and have TSA grope us. Or you could go back to the beginning, talk about what you learned in the military, but it's so great to have you here. Thank you so much for all you've done.
Thank you for having me, actually, Alex. So what I want to start off with is a lot of people understand silo pieces of what the CIA and Western intelligence do, but they don't ever move out to the 30,000 foot look to put them all together in a holistic way. For example, as you mentioned, we know that the CIA during the 1980s was funding the Mujahideen through ISI, the Pakistani intelligence, and that morphs later into ISIS and Al-Qaeda. We also know that the CIA has been involved in multiple assassinations. We also know that they overthrow governments. We also know that they've been involved in drug operations. We know that there's a lot of evidence that the CIA was involved in JFK's assassination. And we also know that through MKUltra, that there was a lot of effort put into creating Manchurian candidates, both on the assassination piece of that. But one of the things that fascinated me is looking at how they had set up scholarship programs to bring foreigners into the United States and educate them with the intent of putting many of them back in their countries to be Western-facing heads of state. And I'll give you two recent examples. Most of your audience probably knows that Obama's dad was brought over here on a CIA-sponsored scholarship to Hawaii, and that the man that was behind those fielding of these candidates was a guy by the name of Maboya, who was in Kenya. But he also, many of your audience may not know, is responsible for bringing Mondami's dad over here as well. And he came over on one of those CIA-sponsored scholarships, too. So I'm just going to leave that there for a minute. And that's kind of all of the silo. People look at all of those as they're isolated incidents. But what I found in discovering Operation Gladio is none of that is isolated. And it's all part of an effort to what we all know is their end goal of establishing one world government. So a lot of people don't know how this started. Operation Gladio is critical to understanding this, but Operation Gladio actually started with Operation Sunrise. Operation Sunrise was a meeting in northern Italy by Alan Dulles, who was then part of the OSS, and Lyman Limitsker, who was a two-star general at the time on Eisenhower's staff in Germany. And at that meeting, they met with a Nazi general by the name of Karl Wolf, and he actually was in charge of what Hitler called werewolf units, and they were citizens by day and killers by night. They had set up extensive networks all over Axis territory with caches of weapons, and these weapons were and the trained people. If the, like, for example, on the Eastern Front, if the Soviets were to push back into Germany, they were to spring up behind them and do operations to attack from the rear. It's a great strategy, but what it manifested itself into in the like the Ukrainian area, it gave birth to people like Bandera and Stetsko and several other Nazis who manifest themselves over the decades into the Azov battalion that we're very familiar with, and another group which most people don't talk about, which is also called Right Sector. They trace their roots to these Nazi stay-behind units that was part of Reinhard Gehlen and Otto Skorzeny's creation on the Eastern Front, because those are the two people that were responsible for the Eastern Front.
And that goes back to the rat line and Operation Paperclip, bringing over all these SS officers and people so they could actually basically be the shadow commanders of these operations throughout the Cold War.
Correct. And so Reinhard Gehlen, Alan Dulles creates the Gehlen organization, which morphs into the German BND, which is their equivalent of the CIA. And so he's operating their intelligence capability, and he's a Nazi general. But the piece most people don't know is Otto Skorzeny was his trainer. And post-World War II, he is the guy that is, he was originally supposed to be in Paris because that's where they were going to set up NATO headquarters. But he gets spotted right away because of his distinctive scar face. And so they have to relocate him to Madrid, which at the time was under the control of Franco, the fascist guy. And so he basically harbors Otto Skorzeny, and they set up what would be what we would think of as the terrorist training camps in Pakistan to train the Mujahideen. They did the exact same thing in Spain to train the Gladio operators throughout Europe. And of course, they're actually called stay-behind units if anybody wants to do additional research. But Gladio was the specific name of the Italian group. But France's group was called OAS. And Portugal had one called Agenter Press. Turkey had one called the Grey Wolves. But everybody in NATO had to have them. Daniel Ganser wrote a book called NATO Secret Armies. And he describes this entire process. You had to sign an agreement in order to enter NATO as a NATO member, saying that you would set up these same capabilities. And of course, it took me about a year into this research, which I've been doing for about the last 4 years, to realize, holy crap, we're in NATO. Who's our stay-behind units? And we'll get to that in a minute.
Absolutely. And you talk about Otto Skorzeny. He was Hitler's favorite commando. And he was then also hired by Israel and the Mossad to help set up a bunch of their assassination teams. And he went around killing people for decades. So when we hear, oh, the Jews and Simon Wiesenthal hunting down Nazis, that was all PR, folks. They weren't hunting down Klaus Barbie in South America. They weren't hunting down the Nazi enclaves in Argentina. No. The Nazis, how did Israel fit into this from your research?
So that's a very interesting question. Israel is kind of a partner. I kind of frame this entire thing as MI6 obviously is the oldest intelligence organization, and that's the dad. The rest of them are siblings. And so with the blood thicker than water, they all collectively work together, but they also have disagreements occasionally. And my research makes clear that the intelligence agencies don't work for their governments, or the CIA would have never killed JFK. And so if you look at them across the board, they have done lots of things, all documented in the books that I've read, that was not done with the knowledge of the president. And that is clearly illustrated in the CIA operation against President Trump. You don't think President Trump had the CIA Eric Chiaramella guy being the quote unquote whistleblower. They're working on their own.
Well, that's right. Just to illustrate that briefly, Crossfire Hurricane and then all the stuff that came out of it, I told Trump this back at the time, Obama in the Defense Authorization Act of 2017 put billions in to countering Foreign Disinformation Propaganda Act that established a stay-behind network for the State Department and CIA of propagandists and saboteurs. So not military commandos, but people to sabotage Trump agenda. Now he's figured out some of that. And for a while was getting him out, but it seems like we're now losing the war, and he's bringing a lot of them back in, more neocons, not really Obama, Hillary operatives. But Obama set up a stay-behind network to basically sabotage Trump.
100%.
Please continue, Colonel.
Yeah, and that's a great illustration of how this works, because most people just assume that they're the field units that are out there that fall in on these caches of weapons. Wasn't it interesting that we found out that the Institute of Peace, when it got raided, had a cache of weapons in it?
Of course. And cash.
Yeah. So they in order for this network to work, they have to be embedded at every level. They have to be in the state police. They have to be in local police departments. And of course, this has all been documented. We found out that during the 1980s, the CIA and even in the 60s, the CIA was instrumental in the Los Angeles Police Department. That's all been documented. They have particular units inside of the DHS now. The DEA and
they have units in the FBI. Then the FBI sets up InfraGuard in the 80s and 90s to then, as another subgroup, basically hire corporate leaders, industry leaders, people in charge of power plants, you name it. So they've got operatives everywhere.
They have operatives everywhere at every echelon and in the corporations, too. We can't forget that. So one of their favorite places to stash or hide CIA agents is in their global security. Every international company has a global security office. And that's where we find the woman that was the Secret Service chief. Where did she go when she left Secret Service? She went to PepsiCo's global security office to hang out there until Biden came back in. And those so you have to understand that I get asked a lot, well, who's behind all of this? Well, the only people since the post-World War II that's benefited from this network is the oligarchs. I call them the international syndicate. And anytime their resources in a foreign country was in jeopardy, for example, Iran in 1953, when the Anglo-Iranian oil company was being nationalized because they refused to renegotiate the contract.
They launched Operation Ajax against Mohammad Mossadegh.
Well, the one before that was actually done by MI6, mm-hmm. and they failed. And Mossadegh kicked them out of the country. So they had to pick up the phone and call Standard Oil and Alan Dulles and say, hey, we need some help because we don't have anybody on the inside anymore.
And so they sent in Kermit Roosevelt. And then you've got the United Fruit operation, all of it.
Yes. And he, of course, is Teddy Roosevelt's grandson. And when they went in, who benefited from that? Well, British Oil only got the 50% that Mossadegh was offering them, because 34% of the proceeds in the aftermath of Ajax went to Standard Oil. And of course, Sullivan and Cromwell, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles' former law firm, was a representative of Standard Oil. And so the same thing in Guatemala the following year, United Fruit. When that president, democratically elected, was saying, hey, you're only using 20% of your farmland. We want to use the other, because it was all acquired through corrupt land deals. And we'll pay you for it, but we don't want it just to stay unused. And they said no. So they just pick up the phone. And of course, Sullivan and Cromwell used to represent United Fruit as well. And they went in and overthrew the government. And United Fruit got to keep all of their farmland because there was a military dictator installed afterwards. And so you just see this thing repeated over and over again. The same thing happened in Chile. It happened in Brazil for Nelson Rockefeller. And so this entire operation, and you see, to my surprise, when I first started this, you see the same people over and over again. You see the same people that was in Korea, in Vietnam. You see the same people in Vietnam, in Latin America, during Nicaragua in the 1980s, involved in. And every one of these follows a particular pattern. There's drugs around. There's narcotics around. And so we have the whole Southeast Asia theater, where we're in Vietnam. We know it's all about the heroin. We're in Afghanistan. We know it's all about the heroin. And then we're in Latin America, where we know it's all about the cocaine. So again, all of these are connected. They're not isolated incidences. There's a effort to fund these covert operations that they're doing in the overthrowing of governments with covert funding. And that's why it's very important that the CIA be able to have this narco network around. It's also why it's very important for them to have continuous warfare. Because if you go back to the Korean War, where did the excess weapons after the Korean War went? They all got bought up by CIA front companies. Where did the excess weapons go from Vietnam? Same thing. Then you had them create banks like BCCI and Nugent Hand in Australia. And they're the ones that create the bill of sales. They're the ones that create all of the documentation to transport all of these weapons around and sell them on the black market. And it also provides them the opportunity to money launder.
And the reason this is so important is it's the same model with Fast and Furious, millions of guns shipped to Mexico to go to yes. Al-Qaeda and ISIS. It's the same story, collapse in Afghanistan, $80 billion of weapons and stuff. A whole bunch of it's then is shipped in to take down Assad. Same story over and over again.
Same story over and over again. And that's why I want people to understand the background of this with these caches of weapons and how this entire network. And then you have all of these trained assassins. And when you read the literature, be very careful, because they're all very specific about talking about the Stay Behind units were anti-communist.
And stay there, Colonel, stay there. You are so articulate and so smart on this, and I really present it. So I want to go through the history and then why this is important now, what we're facing. Folks, this is so important. Share the live feeds now. I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalist. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our Methylene Blue is the best. Our Methylene Red is proprietary. Our Bovine Colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why callers call in and thank me. I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Alex Jones on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Important for all the listeners and viewers to understand something. I've read dozens of books on Gladio alone, had people that were involved in it on, that ran operations in like in Italy on it and other places. And these techniques are being used to control us. Like when you see the Southern Poverty Law Center, told you 30 years ago, they run all the major white supremacist groups and fund them to do violence, you name it. They got $1 billion we know of in the Bahamas. They got German intelligence heavily involved because when we're doing illegal stuff, we'll have a foreign intelligence agency do it for us so there's no oversight. That's basically a Gladio-type operation for destabilization. The ADL, same deal. But what's incredible is after 9/11, I would have all these experts on the former embassy head exposing John Brennan, ordering him to let the hijackers, the decoys in the U.S., was it Springman, I mean, I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of these people. I've interviewed the guy hired by the CIA and the FBI to cook the bomb for the first World Trade Center. Then they cooked a real bomb, so he taped them saying, let the bombing go forward. Then he played it for the press. The only reason he wasn't set up and killed. Ahmad Salam. It goes on and on. I mean, I've done hundreds and hundreds of interviews. I've interviewed the former head of the FBI crime lab who said they were framing almost everybody. The point is, this is massive corruption, but it's all compartmentalized. And this is how the deep state operates. This is what they're doing now. But the good news is they go, okay, it's true. The global head of Al-Qaeda, we made him the head of Syria. Okay, it's true. You know, Israel had field hospitals for Al-Qaeda and ISIS in Syria. So, okay, it's true. Israel founded Hamas and basically Netanyahu was done with them, had some deal to stand down, and then turn around and double-crossed them because they were done with that operation. But it's the same thing over and over and over again, and so much of it's on record, like tens of thousands of Al-Qaeda, all CIA-trained leadership, flown out in the weeks after 9/11 to Pakistan, and then we just went in and blew up a bunch of Taliban and people, and then you know, called it a war, and then started a fight with them so we could have a 20-something-year war to make money for the CIA and opium production. They had 1% of opium production. Taliban had banned opium production. Now 80% of world production within 2 years was that country again, shipping it here, Russia, China, everywhere. And you wonder why China hits us with fentanyl, you know, as payback. I mean, this is sick, and it goes on and on and on and on. And our guest is so smart, Colonel Roxanne Towner Watkins. You can find her at Colonel Towner, T-O-W-N-E-R, on X. And you've got so many places to go. Here with this. Please continue where we left off.
So we were talking about the money laundering, and that's an important part of this. Initially, Operation Gladio, in order to transfer out all of the German caches of weapons in, that was amassed during World War II, the OSS created a thing called Detachment A. And Detachment A's activities was not even declassified until 2014 from 1940s, like 44, 45 is when these operations were going on. Declassified in 2014. What a lot of special forces guys don't know is that's the beginning of special forces. And that's where you get the term ODA, Operational Detachment Alpha. It came from Detachment A. It was also the basis for the 1980s TV series, The A-Team, because that was their nickname. And so as these operations unfold, the initial funding line for this was the Rockefeller Foundation, as documented by Paul Williams in his book called Operation Gladio, as well as the Marshall Plan. Most people don't know the Marshall Plan had a covert line of funding in it, and that's what was used to replace all of these German weapons in these caches. And it was the A-Team that went in, and there's videos on their website. They actually show these tents, and the tents are several tents in an area surrounded by Constantine wire, and they're digging up the old caches of weapons because at Operation Sunrise, that was part of the deal. Here's the list. General Wolf gave Alan Dulles a list. You ratline all of these guys out, provide them safe passage, and we will give you all of the diagrams on where these caches of weapons are and any of the Soviet documentation that we collected on our eastward push. But post-World War II, Marshall plans going away, so we need another funding. And that's where we're going to get into the narcotics with Chiang Kai-shek over in China and the OSS/CIA protection of him, moving him initially to Burma. And he's a Chinese warlord who lost their civil war to Mao. And then they put him on a Chinese island called Formosa and just changed the name of it to Taiwan. And he sets up operations there. He immediately implements martial law, and they lived under martial law for the next 30 to 40 years. And he basically is running the entire opium. And you have Paul Helliwell, William Pauley, and all of these other people that are providing him a Navy, an Air Force. And of course, that's where we secretly stashed the U-2s. When we were flying the U-2s back in the 1950s. And that's not a coincidence. And so you have all of these operations going on over there so they can generate funds. Well, now we need a bank and we don't have BCCI yet. It doesn't come around till the 70s or Nugent Hand. So we use the Vatican Bank. Of course, you had the Rome embassy there and all of these people were involved because in 1948, the CIA basically interfered. That was their first official mission, was interfering in the Italian elections in 1948. And there's a lot documented about that. John Cooney's 1984 biography of Cardinal Spellman. And so also... Chris Simpson wrote a book called Blowback, and he talks about one of the Monsignors, Bersarini, in Milan, serving as the go-between between all Nazis, Ralph Wolf and Albert Kesselring and Alan Dulles. And that was cited in Simon Wiesenthal's book as well. And so, again, all of this is documented. And so I want to hit real hard on this election interference.
Well, I want you to, because that's a model for the rest of the world after that. Now we know the CIA, not just China, through Taiwan into Venezuela with these fraudulent election machines. But it goes back to the CIA. But just two little points to add with what you just talked about, you might look up. Then a few years later, they move the U-2 spy planes to Japan, and the young Lee Harvey Oswald is stationed there, but doesn't have to do any work. His people said he had special clearance. It was like the officers treated him like the boss. Then he does a fake defection to the Soviet Union, but then is allowed to move back to Texas, and then lives with famous expat white Russians, anti-communist, high-level CIA. There's a little microcosm. You got Chiang Kai-shek working with the Vatican Bank. Well, if you go back to the Rudders and back to the Portuguese and the Spanish having the only maps getting into China 200 years before anybody else could, keeping it locked out, they were the ones that began the opium trade into China and later used that to control and break up China, later leading to the Boxer Rebellion. So it's the same story over and over again.
It is the same story over and over again. So I don't know if you know this, but I found this reading a book about how a lot of this, because it involves the oil barons, involves oil pipelines. And so Alan Dulles first met George de Morgenshield, the white Russian you're talking about in Dallas that was instrumental in the JFK setup, when he was 10 years old. Alan Dulles was over buying an oil field for Standard Oil for the Rockefellers in Azerbaijan. And the representative that was representing the Nobel family from Sweden or Denmark, wherever they're from, his dad, George de Morgenshield Sr., was the guy that Alan Dulles was dealing with. So he has known George de Morgenshield the entire time. And that was just mind-blowing to me when I found out that.
And you got Lee Harvey Oswald married to his daughter living with him.
Well, and to your point about Lee Harvey Oswald, he was also in Russia when we lost the U-2 over Russia.
Incredible.
That's in a declassified U-2 document from the CIA. So let's talk about this myth that Venezuela interferes in our elections. There's a book called Stolen Elections that was just recently rushed out with a ton of spelling errors and all kinds of other things that the primary source, one of the primary sources, is a CIA agent. And in the book, they blame Venezuela pretty much for everything. What he doesn't tell you is there's really nothing Venezuelan about Smartmatic. Smartmatic was created by expats in the Miami area that left Venezuela right about the time Chavez come into office. Now, they are representative of the same people that left Cuba after Castro took over. They are the landed wealthy elite that can't survive under someone that is not controlled by the CIA or Western influences. So they all basically leave the country. And those three expats that were in Miami that set up the company in Miami used equipment that they bought from Italy that the company had basically been in charge of casino and ATM productions. So they're basically using technology, which everybody that's ever been in a casino knows that that equipment is controlled. So they're basically using equipment that have back doors to it. And that doesn't require any Venezuela presence at all. So anyway, I think that's just another one of those myths to deflect the real culprits behind who's interfering in our elections.
No, I know you know your stuff. You know even more than I do in many ways. That's it's good to talk to somebody so informed. That's why it's so frustrating to understand that since 1947, as you said, it's all modeled after OSS, British intelligence. We had the whole Anglophile, you know, Atlantic manipulation where we kind of even Eisenhower talked about it as a bad thing, but Churchill wrote his three-volume History of the English-Speaking Peoples. The third volume, he talks about us basically merging in the special relationship. So as the British Empire kind of faded, it just merged with us, and all of its evil proclivities are now here. And so when you look at all this modern propaganda, manipulation, you know, white supremacy groups, radical black groups, all this is being funded by the very same interests. And many times it's the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the people that set all this up post-World War II
yes.
that are still in control today.
Yes, that's very well put. And you find the hereditary links everywhere. So as this comes into its own, some of the highlights of stuff that I have found, for example, since we were talking about the Vatican, the attempted assassination of John Paul II. If you go back and look at who actually got arrested and convicted for that, those two guys were Turkish Grey Wolf Operation Gladio operatives. It was a clear signal to John Paul II. He had been using, so we've already established their money laundering for this entire operation. He was using portions of the money that the Vatican was raking off the top of the money laundering to fund efforts in Poland with Solidarity in order to try to get them separated. And he was having back channel communications with the Soviet Union. And you're not allowed to do that because any reasonable negotiations with the Soviet Union would denigrate their being the big bad bullies that we're going to use in order to justify everything that we do. Because what you find out is every regime change up until the 1990s was because there's some communist presence, right?
So they needed the boogeyman. What you're saying is very, almost no one knows this. But George Herbert Walker Bush, it was later admitted to and partially classified, when the Soviet Union fell in 1991, he freaked out. There was a total panic. And that's well-known people that do the research that it was a Gladio operation to frame the Russians that actually shot John Paul II, because exactly what you said, he was actually trying to take down the Soviet Union. And at the end of the day, it's not Ronald Reagan, who overall I think was a good guy but wasn't really in control. It was Bush Sr. But it's John Paul the second that really is credited with that.
So John Paul II was in active negotiations to get Poland outside of the Soviet Union. And that was his warning shot because the guy was almost point blank range. These are trained assassins. They don't miss. That was a wound. And it was his warning to stop funding this backdoor channel and giving money to the to Poland. And he did stop. And so I would recommend, I'm of a different mind now since I've done this research about Ronald Reagan. We're in the middle of a book called Safe for Democracy, The Secret Wars of the CIA by John Prados. Ronald Reagan was very actively involved in a lot of this stuff.
Well, we know he was an FBI informant. He was anti-communist. And I agree, he knew a lot of it. And they tried to protect him by not involving him in everything. But I also know that Nancy, not just public people that knew her privately, thought that the Bushes were involved shooting him and the fact that they wanted to get rid of him at many levels. We know he didn't like Bush, who ran against him in 79-80, but he was forced to put him on the ticket.
Correct. As many presidents are. Same thing happened with Eisenhower and Nixon. If you go back and reread history from legitimate sources, not the stuff they put in schools. So anyway, we're talking about all of this stuff. If you go back to Italy and you look at the Piazza bombings in the 1970s, they were blowing up train stations and banks. And you ask, well, why would they be doing that to their own citizens? Well, let me point you to the 1962 Operation Northwood, where the same guy that I just mentioned is sitting beside Alan Dulles. Huh?
Limnitzer.
Lyman Limnitzer, the guy at the table at Operation Sunrise that set this entire thing up, wrote Operation Northwood. Operation Northwood talks about using Cuban exiles from Miami, who are all trained by the CIA, to launch domestic operations in the United States to kill Americans, bomb buildings, fly drone aircraft into buildings. That sounds familiar. Blow up ships in the harbor, dressed up as Castro's army in order to justify a land invasion into Cuba. And who do we find in Cuba? Oh, the guys that got kicked out were the same players. United Fruit, William Pauley, the guy that gave the Air Force to Chiang Kai-shek. All of the same players show up in Cuba from an oligarch standpoint. And so they had, and of course the mafia, they have to get Cuba back. They were using Cuba as a heroin staging point from Sicily into the United States. So they really wanted it back in the worst way. So Lyman Limnitzer writes Operation Northwood. Well, it gets better because Lyman Limnitzer, after having written Operation Northwood and briefing it to JFK, JFK goes, what the hell? We're not doing that shit. We're not killing Americans. So he had all just had the Bay of Pigs fiasco, and the generals all hate him. And so he doesn't see firing him, like making him retire, as a palatable thing without a full-on revolt. So he decides to move him. And where did he move him? He moved him to NATO commander, the same NATO running Operation Gladio. So Lyman Limnitzer, as a four-star general, is now in charge of the worldwide Operation Gladio program. And during this time that he's the commander, the headquarters is still in Paris. And Charles de Gaulle had over 30 attempts on his life during his presidency from his own OAS Gladio unit, over 30. And I don't know if you're aware, but during JFK's trip to Paris, France, there was a plan, and depending on who you talk to, there's two different people that comes up in the research, that was approached by the CIA to assassinate JFK in Paris and pass it off as someone who was a bad shot, and it was just another attempt on Charles de Gaulle's life. That's yes, a real thing.
I've been told that by insiders. I don't know if you can do a little bit more time in the next hour. If not, you can come back for part two. This is riveting. I just want to add one little factoid. At the end of Limnitzer's career at NATO, guess who his attaché was, who later became the Secretary of Defense twice, and of course was the architect of 9/11 and the chief neocon? Donald Rumsfeld.
Yes.
And who brings in who brings in a young guy from Montana to be his aide? Dick Cheney.
Yes.
So now you see it's all very incestuous.
It all goes back to this. And that's why it's so, and that's why no one in America, except for maybe yourself, knows anything about Operation Gladio, because it's all been withheld from us. Because as soon as you understand it, everything downstream makes sense.
Well, I don't know why Steve Pachinik, who ran a lot of these operations, you know, came on my show for 25 years. He hadn't come on the last few years because he got mad at me. But we looked him up. I mean, he's in news articles about Gladio. What he said about Gladio, we actually got a grand jury after him probably 8-9 years ago. But he's the one who said it on the show. But he was just putting that out as just in points of that, hey, I ran false flags, so I can tell you 9/11 is a false flag. He was pissed off, and he listed all the names people you're talking about. And, you know, he's on record guys that ran these operations.
Yeah, well, let me just share with you. I graduated, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, from Air War College. So last year I went back to Air War College because my specialty there was Southeast Asia. And I felt like I knew a lot until I started reading about Gladio. And so I was kind of upset by the fact that I spent a year there, got a master's degree, and had never heard about Operation Gladio. So I went back. It's one of the largest, if not the largest library in the Air
Force. Hold on. Stay there. Can you stay a little bit more in the next hour?
Sure.
Great, because we got to go to break, because I want to just do 20 more minutes so we can talk about, I know the history is key to know history, or you're doing to repeat it, but I want to get your take on currently what's happening and your military background, your research background, your business background, what you think is coming next and what we can do. Because this is what we're up against. Because let me tell you, it got declassified partially. The CIA and DOJ ran all the operations against me, the lawsuits, all of it, funded it all. And then it was being investigated by Ed Martin, and then the current AG killed that investigation. That's public information. ABC News 6 months ago. So believe me, I know about it because I've experienced it myself. And if I told you some of the stories, I mean, like it's so insane. You could write 10 books just on this. It's been like a James Bond movie with these people, and they try to be a good cop, they try to be a bad cop. but yeah, let's come back. Do 20 more minutes, and you've got to come back. We also do a commercial-free podcast sometimes. Is the best place to go Colonel Towner, T-O-W-N-E-R on X?
Yes.
Any other websites or places we find you?
So I am on Rumble. I do a 4 o'clock show every day, Monday through Friday. I do it both in Spaces on X, but I also do it on my Rumble channel. Obviously, I have a crew of people all over the world that has helped me with this research, and we all kind of congregate on the Spaces. So we have bankers and lawyers and all kinds of other people that have personal experience with this that they've come on the show.
I've become a fan of it. Absolutely. Well, so we'll stay with us. We'll come right back next hour. Now, listen, folks, we're going to break in about a minute. I need your support. Okay. They shut down InfoWars for 28 plus years there, 28 years, 29 years. Been on the air 32 total. Audience, a lot of new people tuning in, but a lot of people don't even know where to find the show. I need your help to tell everybody you know, an email list and online and post. Alex Jones is on air right now breaking big bombshell stuff. So everybody's looking. It's crazy. At AJ and Lime on X. Rumble.com/AJN Live. Follow us there and tell everybody Alex Jones is on the air right now, because the big hoax that I'm off the air and New York Times, Washington Post, people will believe it. Have family calling. Oh, you're off the air now? No, we're not, folks. We're at the Alex Jones Network. Our new news site is AlexJonesLive.com with all the articles, all the videos, AlexJonesLive.com. Be sure and share that URL. It's so important, AlexJonesLive.com. And then finally, AlexJonesStore.com. All the best supplements, all the t-shirts, all the cool knives, everything, the very best. Big sale going on right now on ultramethylene blue, on Shilajit, on the bovine colostrum, on the zeolite detox for the spike protein, and more. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. We need your support. Plus, these are amazing products. Thanks for all your support. We're firing the bat signal. We need funds right now. Thealexjonesstore.com to fund this incredible information getting out. All right, hour number three, straight ahead. Mega sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival, that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture, the bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra Brain Booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market, but the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, with the widest selection, thealexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultramethylene Blue Gummies, the first run. They're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off. That's about to end. And it goes on and on and on. Thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, the sister site of thealexjonesstore.com, realalexjones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones Network. And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, you know, limited edition t-shirts or Faraday bags. They hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern, Skull Crusher, Brass Knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, stainless steel, razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like $100-something bucks in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure and take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Share the live feeds now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.